Hello and welcome back. We are on section 3 and we are doing chapter number 9, which is the last chapter in this section, which talks about the essential of foreign trade. So let's understand what is there in this topic. Now, what are the learning objectives that you're going to learn? To know about various terms used in context of international business. You're going to understand documentation required for doing this international business or foreign trade, as we say. You're going to learn about the various financing methods used in international business, and you're going to know about the supporting institutions framework which help or facilitate international business. So talking about international business, we're going to talk about first is as the payment mechanism, because international business possesses a wide range of risk which causes uncertainty over various timings of payment between the exporter and the importer. Now, if the payment is not received, the exporter basically has to suffer huge losses. Now, there is more challenges because of the various time zones that we have. There's also challenges where we have a language barrier and so on. Now, for any importer, if he doesn't make a payment, any payment is donation until the goods are received by him. So he is also dependent, or he is also at risk when he has made some payment and the goods are not received by him. Whereas for an exporter, any sale would be a gift given to an importer if the payment is not received by him. So let's see. We have various mechanisms or various methods of payment which we use in international business. These are few of the commonly used, which is consignment basis, open account, collection of documents, letter of credit, and advance payment, also called as cash in advance. Now, the chart that you see on the screen talks about has the exporter's risk over here. Now, you can also see it in terms of if you add a point of exporter over here and importer over here, you will find which is beneficial to whom. Like advance payment, for that matter, it is beneficial to more beneficial to the exporter, and the risk will start increasing when it moves to letter of credit and to collection and to open account and to consignment. Whereas for the importer, it is vice versa. If he receives goods in consent basis, he'll be the most happiest person on earth. Followed by open account, followed by collection, followed by letter of credit, and advance payment will be where importer will not be happy paying it, because he has to pay first before delivery of the goods. Now let's understand each type of term, like payment term, open account, collection. Let's try to understand what are this. First one, the consent basis. Now, payment is made after the goods are being sold to end customer in import country. This is what consignment basis says. Now, what is consignment basis basically? In consignment basis, goods are sent on consignment basis from the exporter to the importer. Over here, you have to understand the relationship between a principal and an agent. The goods, the exporter being the principal and the agent being the importer being the agent. So the goods are consigned from the exporter to the importer. Now the importer will receive the goods, he will sell the goods in the local market, collect the payment, and then he will send it back to the exporter. Now foreign distributors receive, manage, and sell the goods basically in this kind of arrangement for the exporter, who basically sends the goods to them on consignment basis. Now, this kind of things are beneficial to the exporter because the exporter can become more competitive on the basis of better availability and delivery of goods, because he doesn't have to cater to individual customers over there. He can send the goods to his agent, and the agent will take care of the distribution network or the selling network. It helps basically the exporter also to reduce on the direct cost of storing and managing inventory at even the origin as well as the destination port. Now consignment basis, further they say it's a key to success. The key to success is partners, which should be reliable and they should be trustworthy. Now this kind of arrangement is never undertaken if you don't find a partner who is not reliable or not trustworthy. There will always be also an agreement in place, the agreement which is basically the principal and agent agreement, which is there with all the clauses mentioned inside, which should be agreeable to both the parties. Also, there should be appropriate insurance should be taken. Now, there are also two types of insurances. One which is will cover the goods, and also there should be credit insurance in place. From consignment, we move to open account. Now, what happens in open account? A sale where the goods is shipped and delivered before payment is due, which international sales is typically around 30 days, 60 days or 90 days. Now, in this kind of arrangement, the exporter will keep on shipping the goods on continuous basis to the importer. The importer will receive the goods, and as per their discussion, he will transfer some amount to the exporter as per their discussion and agreement. Now, the advantage option, it is definitely for the importer, because he doesn't block his flow of cash flow at all. He doesn't need to invest anything in the goods. He will just receive the good and enjoys that money or the sales proceed for a long period of time till the exporter demands the money, or till he pays the money to the exporter. Definitely the exporter will be at highest risk, because he has also sold the goods to the importer and he has not received anything out of it. Now, moving from the open account, we move to the documentary collection method. Now, in the documentary collection method, here you are appointing, or the exporter. Normally you should refer it as an exporter, because I am talking from the perspective of the exporter. So, in this transaction, the exporter is now entrusting the collection of payment for the sale of his good to the bank. The bank is now acting as an agent of the exporter and making sure that it is collecting funds from the importer. That they will do through the associate, which is the importing bank. So, here two banks will be involved, the exporter's bank as well as the importer's bank. Document flows from the exporter to his bank, from his bank to the importer's bank. The importer's bank will collect the payment and then they will send back the money to the exporter's bank, whereas the documents will go to the importer directly. Now, in this kind of mechanism, you will find there are two options which are available to you, which is either payment can be at site or it can be on acceptance. Now, what does this mean, or what is the difference between this? When you talk about site, that means the moment the documents are presented to the importer, he has to make payment and take the delivery of the documents. The is hath le option. So that is one of the options. Second option would be your documents on acceptance, wherein the importer has to only accept the bill of exchange. The bill of exchange normally also is called as a usance bill of exchange, which is payable at a particular date in future. So the importer over here will accept the bill of exchange and take delivery of the goods, and when the due date is there, he has to make the payment to his banker, and his bank will send the payment back to the exporter's bank. Moving from documentary credits, we find LC or letter of credit. Now, this is one of the most secured of instruments which can be used for payment terms, because it helps and facilitates both the parties. It is an expensive option, but then it gives you a lot of security both to the exporter as well as the importer. Now, the LC basically is a commitment by his bank. It is an undertaking by the importer's bank that the payment will be made to the exporter if he fulfills all the terms and conditions which are mentioned in the letter of credit. Now, how these conditions will be there? The conditions basically are in terms of your documentation. So, the documents what is submitted has to be in compliance with the letter of credit. Once the documents are in compliance, then the necessary payment is given to the exporter. Now, this kind of method is also referred as a documentary letter of credit, because in this case, we are talking about more of documents. The emphasis is more on the documents, not on the goods. The bank doesn't see your goods. The bank only sees your documentation. So if your documentation is perfect, no bank can block your funds whatsoever. If the documentation is not perfect, then there would be definitely some delay in receiving your payments, there would be also sometimes a discrepancy fee which they charge for any error or discrepancy in your particular documentation. Now, how it goes about? The buyer will establish the letter of credit with his bank. Now, the bank may charge him either the full amount as a security for with them, but normally if the importer has good creditworthiness with the bank, it is much easier for him to get a LC. Also, the margin money which is kept will be lower. So the LC is useful when the creditworthiness of the importer and the exporter is actually not known. Like if the exporter and importer are meeting for the first time and they don't know each other, so they would like to trade through a letter of credit. Now the letter of credit is opened by the importer and it comes to the exporter. The exporter will export the goods, make the documentation, present it to his bank for payment. The documents are in order, the bank will make the payment to him. It's as simple as that. Though the whole transaction may sound complicated, but it is a simple method, but provided you follow the exact guidelines and you follow and complete the documentation as per what is mentioned in the letter of credit. Now for buyer, there is no payment obligation until the goods have been actually shipped as promised, because you cannot present documentation for something which you have not done. So if you have shipped the goods, only then you can present a documentation which is complete in nature. So the buyer does not have to pay anything till the time actually the goods are shipped. And also you have to understand, in letter of credit also talks about specific date of shipments that the exporter has to comply with. Also, it talks about specific date of presentation of documents also. So it is not like that they just ships the goods and just waits. So all these things have timelines in letter of credit, and the documentation has to be in accordance, systematic, with the matching to the letter of credit requirements. And then we come to advance payment or cash in advance, which is the most demanded payment term by the exporter. An exporter who gets advance payment will be the happiest person, because he has no risk, no payment risk which is involved, because he receives all the money in advance. Wire transfers and credit cards are the most widely used cash on advance options. Now escrow services are also becoming another cash in advance options for small exporter transactions. Now this is one of the, as I said, it is the exporter will be much happier, but not the buyer or the importer, because the buyer has to make the payment in advance and then wait or be on the mercy of the exporter that he will ship the goods. So definitely the buyer will not like this kind of option. It is less competitive option for the exporter. Now understanding when to use the various kind of options. Now we are talking about consignment basis. Now in a competitive environment, when you want to enter new markets or want to increase your sales in partnership, then that is the time when you can think about a consignment basis option, where you are also supporting your distributor or you're supporting your importer for some time and helping him to do sales and increase the sales in that particular market. Open account only advisable if you know the importer well. Normally this kind of arrangement is done when you are exporting to your branch or your subsidy or your company which is associated to you. So it is in a low risk trading relationship or basically in a market where you know the importer thoroughly well. Collection of documents, which is we spoke about two types, which is documents on payment and documents on acceptance. Now this can be done when there is a trade relationship already with the importer, when you know the importer for some time. It is a stable option, again it is a good option to do with, because majority of the transaction around the world are done through this kind of mechanism. So this kind of options can be done. Ideally, again, it is also ideally for transit times which take longer transit time because your documents have to physically go to the importer's bank. So goods shipped by ocean or ship will be an ideal option for this. Though there are shipments which are also done by air, which use the collection of documents. Advance payment, when you just do not know who the importer is, when there is a high risk involved, that is the time the exporter will demand for and should demand for an advance payment. A letter of credit, now it is again, as I said, it is an expensive option. It is when it is to be used basically when you are talking about a new or a less established trade relationship, when you don't know much about the importer and you don't know or the importer also doesn't know much about you. That is the time you will try to use a letter of credit, because it is an expensive option also, because it's expensive for the importer as well as the exporter. So people are very careful in using letter of credit as an option. Now, once the exporter is satisfied later on, then they can switch over to other payment methods also. But this payment method can be used when there is a fairly less amount of or the less established a relationship between both the parties, the exporter and the importer. Now, documentation. Let's talk about from the payment point. Now we move on to documentation. What is the documentation required in international business? Now, there was some ease of business doing initiative which has been taken by India, and but for reducing the amount of documents that would be required for basically import and export. Now, if you're talking about starting up an export-import firm, you only need an IEC, which is an importer-exporter code, which is required to start an IEC, which is required to start an export-import business. And you also need, if you also want to get into active exports, then you need to also have a registration with the Export Promotion Council, or which we'll see later in this chapter. Now, as per the DGFT or the government, we require only three documents for your export and import transaction. Now, these three documents for import, you will require the bill of lading or the FA bill. Bill of lading we use when you ship goods by sea. FA bill is used when the goods are shipped by air. You require an invoice, come packing list, and a bill of entry. Now, bill of entry is filed with the customs when you import a particular product. And for export, you will require a bill of lading and FA bill. You will require a commercial invoice and a packing list. And you require a shipping bill or a bill of export. Now, the shipping bill or a bill of export is the exact opposite of a bill of entry, which is used to when you export the goods. So, documents in international business, you require bill of lading, commercial invoice, insurance certificate, and consular invoice. This is some of the other documents also. Now, let's understand what a bill of lading is. Now, a bill of lading, or also it is also basically called a receipt from the liner for the goods received for you for transportation of goods from one location to another. Now, this is issued by the carrier of the goods, or the carrier or the vessel owner. Now, this is basically an evidence of a contract between the shipper of the goods and the carrier. Now, what is the contract for? The contract is to carry the goods from the port of loading to the port of destination. Now, this will contain all the various aspects about the shipments, about the goods, who is the shipper, who is the receiver, and so on. So you will get all the information on the bill of lading. Now, it gives title to that to the shipment for the specific party. So it also acts as a document of title. So the person who holds the bill of lading can actually go and take the delivery of the goods. It is normally issued in three copies, three originals, and some few non-negotiable copies, three negotiable copies or original copies. Now, it serves basically as for three purposes. It first acts as a receipt. It acts as a contract of carriage, and it acts as a document of title. Receipt, that the goods have been received by the shipping company to ship the goods. A contract of carriage, that they have to carry the goods from one location to another. And a document of title means, which basically the person who owns the bill of lading or has the bill of lading can take the physical delivery of the goods. Now, there are two types which are listed over here, which is the straight bill of lading and the ordered bill of lading. What is the state bill of lading? Basically, it is a non-negotiable bill of lading which is used where no finances is involved. So if I am sending goods from, say, if I consign the goods to directly to a particular party, directly to a particular importer, it will be called as a state bill of lading. Now, it is not negotiable in nature, and the person, and he can directly go and take the delivery of the goods on presentation of the original bill of lading. This is one of the most commonly used bill of ladings where no banking financing is involved. If bank financing is involved, then there would be a different form of bill of lading. Then we have an order bill of lading. Now, order bill of lading will be used when there would be some sort of financing involved. Now, as an order bill of lading represents goods in transit, they are readily marketable and fully insured. This document is generally considered to be a goods collateral by banks, because in order bill of lading, normally the goods will be consigned to a particular bank if they are financed, or it will be just mentioned as to order. Now, it requires the carrier to deliver the merchandise to the importer, but there would be some endorsements on the back of the bill of lading which will be required. The endorsement will be of the exporter, and also if the bank is involved, then the endorsements of the bank also would be required. Now, this, what does the endorsement basically mean? When the exporter endorses a particular bill of lading, which is an order bill of lading, he is basically saying that he has transferred the title to the particular importer. So till that time, the endorsement is not there. If the endorsement is not there, that means the goods are not actually, the transfer of title is not taken place. Now, this endorsed BL also acts as a security against any debt obligations. Now, description of merchandise on the bill of lading are usually short and simple. There will be not an elaborative description mentioned in the bill of lading until unless it would be under a letter of credit, where the letter of credit demands you to have a particular type of description mentioned on the bill of lading. Otherwise, it will be a short and simple description talking about the various products that it is carrying under this bill of lading, the amount of packages, number of packages, the volume of the cargo, and the markings of the cargo. It is a shipping mark which is put on the cargo. BL may specify alternate port in the event that delivery cannot be made to the designated port or will be returned to the exporter for expense of the exporter. So normally you will find that a BL will have the port of discharge. Now, in event where normally the line is not able to deliver because of some reason, say let's take an example of a war-like situation where war has taken place in that particular country and the line doesn't feel safe to go to that particular location, then it can deliver the goods back again to the origin place, but again the expenses will be borne by the exporter. The BL also acts as a very important instrument to get the BL or the payment. Now, without presenting of this sort of proof that the goods have been shipped, no importer will make the payment to the exporter. Then we have this commercial invoice cum packing list. Now, this also can be separated. You can have commercial invoice separate and you can have a packing list separate. Now, this is a very important document because it is one of the most important commercial documents. Now, it is used for the custom clearance of goods initially. It is definitely made by the exporter because the exporter knows what product he is exporting. So he will mention everything involving the party whose the goods are going to, which is the importer of the product, all the goods details will be mentioned in the product. What is the product name, what is the quantity, what is the value of the particular product, the country of manufacturing, the HS codes. The HS codes have to be mentioned on the invoice. HS codes basically are various codes given by, followed internationally for classification of a particular product. So all this information have to come on a invoice cum packing list. Now, this talking more about this invoice, which I would like to add also, is this same invoice cum packing list will be used also for your custom clearance. So your shipping bill or your export bill will be filed on the basis of your invoice and packing list. Because all details will from there will be taken and punched into the custom system. So a shipping bill is filed, invoice is basically because of the on the basis of the commercial invoice. Even when you the shipment is done, when you present the bill for payment, the importer is going to make the payment based on the amount mentioned in the commercial invoice only. Then we have the insurance or the insurance certificate. Now this normally is issued by insurance companies or insurance brokers who are qualified enough to issue this kind of certificate. Now you'll find most of the shippers or exporters or even the freight forwarders take a blanket policy. Now most of the time you'll find it as an open cover policy or a floating policy which is taken, and certificates are drawn from that particular policy. Now normally they will have cover for all transactions all around the world, but a certificate will be for a specific shipment which is taking place between the importer and the exporter. This also certifies that the shipment has been insured under the given open cover policy, and it is basically to cover the losses or damages to the cargo while in transit. So insurance is very, very important. The cost is not much as of now, but then people sometimes ignore this fact and do not take insurance. Also, it is also important when you talk about insurance to understand the Incoterm or the international commercial term or also known as the terms of delivery. So if you're talking about terms like CIF, so you need to mandatorily take the insurance. As a shipper, you also can take insurance where a FOB transaction is concerned or where a CFR transaction is concerned, where it is the responsibility of the importer to take the insurance. But you as a shipper are taking the insurance, so because you want to protect the seller's interest. So you can take a seller's interest protection policy or a cover which covers the transit from your port till the port of destination. So insurance, though we see it as a cost most of the time, it is very, very crucial and very, very important when we talk about losses at ship, because there have been ample incidences in history we talk about where the ship have sunk or due to some reason the cargo has got damaged or the cargo has been taken away or there has been pilferage at the various custom ports. So it is very necessary for you to have insurance for your cargo and protect your cargo against all these perils. Now, council invoice is an extension of your commercial invoice. Now, basically, this document is written in the language of the foreign country for which the goods have been destined. Now it can be issued also in your language, but normally it is preferable to have it is in the language of the distinct country or in the common language, which is English, acceptable international commercial language. Now this will cover everything which is there mentioned in a normal commercial invoice. Now this is obtained from the consulate general. So normally this document is certified by the consulate general who is stationed in your particular country or the country of origin. Example, if you are exporting to say Venezuela, the consular general of Venezuela stationed in India will certify this particular invoice stating that these goods are from in the particular origin. It is a technical document and it is prepared normally either by the shipper or the freight forwarder. Now, most of the Latin American countries require this kind of document. Now, from the various types of documents we spoke about, earlier we spoke about the various types of payment terms. Then we spoke about the various type of documentation which is required. Now, we're talking about the various finance options available or finance methods available. Now, one of the commonly, which is you see on the screen now is bank acceptance or BA. It is also known as a bill of exchange. factoring which is defined as a service of financial nature involving the conversion of credit bills into cash. And there's also forfeiting, which is a form of a trade financing option in which the exporter will forfeit his right for the export receivables. So let's try to understand this. Bank acceptance, or BA in short. Now, this kind of option is also known as a bill of exchange. Now, what happens in this bank acceptance? It is a basically printed on a piece of paper, but it is a negotiable instrument. And it functions like a post-dated check because it talks about that payment will be received at a future date. Although the bank, rather than an account holder, guarantees the payment, but it is still a very important document where the finance can be availed. Now, these are used by companies in a relatively safe form of payment over large transactions. Okay, and the banker acceptance requires the bank to pay the holder a set of money on the set date. That is what we said, this is the payment will be made to the holder of the bank acceptance on a particular set date which is agreed for the particular set of amount. Now, bank acceptance can be used as a check. So, banker's acceptance, like certified checks, are a relative safe form of payment for both the sides of the transaction. The money owed is guaranteed to be paid on the date specified on the bill. So, it is not an issue that the money will not be paid, but you need to present the original bank acceptance. The use of bank acceptance is very, very common where international transactions are concerned, where this kind of bank acceptance are basically even given to various agencies to receive the payments. Thank you and all the best.